Today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Vav. We are holding on daf Ayin Hamid Beis. Today's daf is the last daf of the seventh parak of Masechta Shabbos. We're going to go through various shiurim for different types of foods, animal foods, for which a person is chayiv for carrying on Shabbos. And the Gemara is then going to discuss different types of animal feed, which different types of animal feed can combine with each other to equal the necessary shiur. And then the last mishnah in the parak is going to discuss which parts of food count toward the minimum shiur of food. And the Gemara is going to deal with shells of several different halachas that relate to shells. And then, even though we start the eighth parak, it really just continues along the same theme with different amounts of liquid for which a person is chayiv for carrying outside on Shabbos. So the next mission, in the first mission at the beginning of the eighth parak, is actually not a new topic at all. The Gemara is going to elaborate on the amount of wine that a person would be chayiv for carrying, but it's all about the shiurim that a person is chayiv for carrying. And it all starts with Ayin Hamid Beis at the bottom, the mission at the bottom, va'od klalach or amru. They said another klal in regard to malachos of Shabbos, particularly the malacha of hotza'ah. Kalakosher lahatznia umatznian kamahu va'otziu b'Shabbos chayiv chatos alav. Anything that is qualitatively worth putting away, it's worth protecting, and they put away that quantity of it as well, and a person is motzi that on Shabbos, he's chayiv to bring a korban chatos. V'ilka Rashi, kosh lo tznia means shum min ha'asui l'tzorach ha'adam. It's a min, it's qualitatively something that's made l'tzorach ha'adam, and matznin kamahu is kamus zeh. Kolomar sheyesh bo shir aroy latznio. It has the quantity that's necessary in order for a person to use. So then yichayiv chatos for carrying that on Shabbos. But v'kol she'enu kasher latznia ve'in matznin kamav v'otzia b'Shabbos enu chayiv ella hamatznio. But something that is not normally used for people, or something that is not that's taken out in a quantity that's less than is actually usable, that a person would actually put away to use for later, so only someone who for whatever reason is motivated to be matznia such an item, someone who would protect such an item is chayiv for carrying it. But anybody else is not chayiv for carrying such an item because it's not considered a davar chashuv. Says the Gemara, kol kasher latznia lafuke mai. What are we trying to exclude when we say only that which is kasher latznia is subject to otzah? What's not subject to otzah? So Rav Papa amar lafuke damnida. Rav Papa says comes to exclude damnida, that if a person is motzi damnida, that he's not chayiv. So says the Gemara, Mar Ukva Amar Lafuke Atzei Ashera. Mar Ukva says, no, it's coming to exclude Atzei Ashera. So Mandi Amar Damnida Kolshkein Atzei Ashera. If you say that you're not chayiv for carrying Damnida, you're certainly not chayiv for carrying Atzei Ashera. As Rashi says, Mandi Amar Damnida Inu Koshel Atznia. If you hold that Damnida is not something a person would put away, Kolshkein Atzei Ashera Disurei Anan Inhu Umi Isi V'Tzarech Labdan. So Atzei Ashera is even lower than Damnida. It's something that's disgusting to a person. It's something that we have a chiv to destroy. Damnida is just a little strange to carry around, but Atzei Ashera is something that you have to destroy, that you have to get rid of. So that's even, it's even lower. It's certainly not something that people are matznia. But Mandi Amar Atzei Ashera, but the one who says that Atzei Ashera is what the Mishnah is coming to exclude, would hold that you are chayiv for carrying Damnida, that Damnida is something that you're matznia. Aval Damnida mitzna le'lishunra. A person may put away Damnida for future use. What would he ever use Damnida for? Lashunra, to feed to his cat. The cat likes to eat Damnida. The other opinion would say, no, kivan decholsha lo mitznale. No one would ever put away Damnida for their cat, because someone who feeds human blood to a cat, nasa cholash oso adam, Rashi says, that person becomes weak. That somehow, by feeding it to a cat, it weakens the person, even though it's outside of the person's body already. Am Rabbi Yosef Chanina, hay delok Rabbi Shimon. Deik Rabbi Shimon, am Rabbi Kolash Shirun Halalu, elo lamatzni ehen. This whole discussion is delok Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon would say all of these shiurim are only lamatzni ehen, are only for people who actually do put away these things. Meaning, if you are a person who doesn't put away these things in these quantities, then these quantities don't matter to you. If you would never put them away, you wouldn't be chayiv on them anyway. For people who do put away these things, people who are matznia these things, and they take them out in lesser quantities, even if they would normally be matzniya them in lesser quantities, Rabbi Shimon would still hold, they'd be potter, they would not be chayiv, they're only chayiv when they take them out in these quantities. Now this idea that dam nida is something that is that someone would not be willing, machlokas, whether they would be willing to be matzniya, they would put away or they would not put away. So the post can point out from here, that you see from here that an isha or her husband that's matzniya dam, or a moch, l'tzorich bedika, and they were motzi on Shabbos, would be in a sedaraisa, because that's matzniya kamoh, everyone would be matzniya, something like that. They're not keeping dam nida to feed to their cat, they're keeping dam nida because they need to show it to a chacham. In fact, the Chidush Aran writes over here that when we say kibin dechol shalom matzmila, he says, wait a second, what about the fact that you need to put it away to show it to ask a shayla? So he says, no, we're talking about after you've already shown it to a chacham. That's why we call it damnida. We don't call it blood that you have a shayla about. It's damnida, meaning you already know that it's damnida, and still you're keeping it. So what are you keeping it for once you already know that it's damnida? Some rabbanim that are that train younger rabbanim in how to paskin l'chnida shaylas will keep these things. So maybe for them it would be a different din. Then that's matzniyeh, and those are people that are matzniyeh these things, because they want to use it as a teaching tool. Now Rashi writes that it's cholsha, that a person who feeds any human blood to a cat will become weak, and that's the machlokas over here. Would someone save the dam for a cat? So in the Sefer Tel Torah of Meir Arik asks, based on the Ramban and Parshas Achremos, the Ramban writes that dam nida is toxic, that it's a sam hamaves, and any bal chai that drinks it would die, because it's a sam hamaves. Now, in general, that was a widely held belief in Rishonim on a physical and metaphysical level, that dam nida is... that the reason that, if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, the reason for the Yisur Nida, he says, relates to this idea that Nida is almost like poisonous. The Rishonim believe that you can't walk in the path that a Nida had walked in, that she leaves some sort of aura or something. But the Ramban writes that the Dam Nida itself is toxic. I'm not sure about the Metzius, but the question is, if the Dam Nida in fact is toxic, so what do you mean you can feed it to your cat? Unless you want to kill your cat, why would you feed it to your cat? But it could be the Ramera Rick suggests, the Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed tells us that a shunra afilu eres nocha sheinu mazikla, that even the snake poison somehow doesn't affect the cat. That a cat is somehow immune to certain types of toxicity. Again, I don't know about the Matthias on any end of this in terms of the toxicity of dam nida, although we once had a shayla, another rabbi asked me that there was a woman, who had gone to the mikveh, and then she realized after she went to the mikveh that she still had a tampon inside. So how did that happen? How did she realize that? How did she do bedikos? Because apparently it was a very heavy period. She put in one tampon and then put in a second one while the first one was still there, and forgot that there were two. I didn't even know it was possible to put in two, but forgot that there were two, and took one out, and the other one was left in there for weeks. Weeks and weeks, and she did all the bedikos. It was somewhere in there, and the shayla was, is her tevila kasher? So one of the rabbanim that we spoke to said she should probably bench gomel, because it's toxic, and you leave that in your body, and it could be very, very dangerous. I have no idea. I don't know what the metzius is in terms of that. Okay, so it says more, b'kol she'enu kasher latznia, anything that's not kasher latznia, anything that you can't that you wouldn't put away, so you're not going to be chayavad. Says Gemara, Amar Rav Lazar, had the look Rav Shimon ben Elazar. This is against Rav Shimon ben Elazar. D'tanya, klalam Rav Shimon ben Elazar, kol she'enu kosher latznia, ve'in matznia kamo, v'huchsha lezev yitznia, uba acher v'hotzio, nischayav zeh b'machshav v'shal zeh. An unbelievable chiddush, that as long as the guy who owns it, the guy who has it, was matznia it, he would put it away, even if someone else carries it, even if someone else takes it outside on Shabbos, and the person who carries it would never have been matzniyah, it's not chashuv to him at all. Nevertheless, chayiv zev makshavas v'shalzev, the fact that one of the people would, that one person would have been matzniyah, it makes it that the other person person is going to be chayiv with that person's machshava. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamotzi tevin, if a person takes out straw, now we're going to talk about animal feed. How much animal feed does a person have to carry to be chayiv? So hamotzi tevin, person takes out straw, kumlo pi para, the amount that would fill a cow's mouth, because a cow eats straw. Eitzah, kumlo pi gamal. Eitzah is another type of animal feed that would normally be fed to camels. So the amount that it would take to feed a camel. Rashi points out that that's a greater shear than pi para. A camel has a bigger mouth. But if you only took out a mlo pi para of eitzah, then it's nothing, because it's not roi for a para, and for a gamal it's not enough. So that's why it's dafka kumlo pi gamal. Amir kimlo pitle. If you take an amir, another type of animal food, it's the amount that would fill the mouth of a lamb, which is more than a pi gedi. It's more than the next case, meaning over here the order is reversed. In the first two, between the para and the gamal, the para has a smaller mouth than the gamal. In the next two, we're going to have tle and gedi, the tle has a larger mouth than the gedi. Some of the achronim try to deal with why they did that, why the Mishnah set it up in such a way where there's no logical, there's no sequence in terms of the shear, but that's what it is. The amir is kumlo pitla, which is a bigger than a mlo pigadi. And asavim kumlo pigadi. And asavim, the amount that would fill the mouth of a gadi. Ale shum v'ale b'tselim, the leaves of garlic and of onions, lachim kegrogros, so if they're moist, then it's a shear of a grogros. If they're moist, then we assume that they're royal adam, that a human being could eat them. And the shear of machal adam, we're going to see later in the next Mishnah, is always kegrogros. This shear of the shearim in this Mishnah are all about machal behema. But by machal adam, the shear is always going to be a grogros. Yaveshim, but if they're dry and they're not roy to be eaten by people, kimlo pi gedi, then it's the amount that would fill the mouth of a gedi, of a goat. Ve'in mitstarfim ze im ze, mnei shaloshavu b'shiurehen. But they're not mitstarif with each other because they don't have the same shear, meaning you can't take out a little bit of amir and a little bit of teven and be mitstarif them with each other to equal the shear, because they don't have the same shear, and only things that have the same shear can combine with each other to add up to equal that shear. Okay, so says Gemara, my etzah, what is etzah? We said etzah is something that if you take out a camel's mouthful, you're chayev. Well, what is it? Amr of Yudah, teven shel mina kitnis. It's the straw that comes out from different types of beans. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar Hamotzi Tevin Kamlo Pi Para Legamel. When Rav Dimi taught the following Chiddush Lalacha. Now that we've defined Eitzah, so he taught the following Chiddush, that if a person takes out Tevin, which we said is normally cow feed, let's say he takes out Tevin, but enough to fill the mouth of a cow, which we said you should be Chayiv, but he's not taking it out to feed a cow, he's taking it out legumal, he's taking it out to feed a camel. Now, as we said, a camel's mouth is much bigger, so this isn't going to be enough for what he needs to use it for. So even though it's cow food, and he's taking it out in the quantity that would be enough to feed a cow, maybe because his intended use for it is to feed a gamal, maybe it should be potter. So that's a machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan amar chayiv, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar potter. Rabbi Yochanan says you chayiv, Reish Lakish holds your potter. Bu'urta am Rabbi Yochanan hachi, letzafra hadarbei. At night, Rabbi Yochanan said you chayiv, but then the next morning, Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind. We do find this in a few places in Shas. We're going to find it later on Kuf Lamed Vav and Beis, that amar Rava hachi, letzafra hadarbei, that Rava also said letzafra hadarbei. In Gemara Baba Kama, gives an Ayin Aleph and Beis, gives a little bit of insight as to why one would change his mind from what he said at night. Not just that you sleep on it, but the Gemara Baba Kama says, that the reason I didn't want to tell you last night a halacha was because I didn't eat bisra datura last night, and therefore I wasn't qualified to issue the psak. So Rashi over there says it means lo dikdakti ta'amo shel davar. Bisra datura aksmi takes a good amount of digestion. So he meant I was tired. I wasn't able to really analyze the shaila properly when it's nighttime and your mind is a little clouded from a whole day of exhaustion. So he felt that he wasn't able to analyze properly. Tosav there says no, lo achle bisra datura is meant literal. He was shari b'tainis. He was fasting that day. And when a person is fasting, sometimes they're not themselves and they're not able and they're not able to paskin properly. So anyway, so Rabbi Yochanan said one thing at night, but he has the right to change his mind. The person's entitled to change his mind. So letzafra hadabei, the next morning he changed his mind, and he agreed to Reish Lakish that you're putter in this case. Amr Rav Yosef Shapir Avad Ahadar Dalo Chazil Gamal. Rav Yosef says, yeah, he did a good job changing his mind, because what he was taking it out to use, it wasn't enough. He was taking out food to feed a Gamal, and it wasn't going to feed the Gamal. Amr Abaye says, no, Adaraba, Kidmei Karam Istavra Dal Chazil Para. In general, does what you're using the food for really matter when it comes to a Shir Hotza'a? The Mishnah discusses, what's a chashav amount of that food? Now, he took out a chashav amount of that food. He took out cow feed, and it was enough to feed a cow, so it's a chashav amount of that food. What do I care whether he's going to use it to feed a gamel, not use it to feed a paro or a gamel? It's a chashav amount of that food. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan should not have changed his mind. So it doesn't make sense that Rabbi Yochanan would have changed his mind to agree to Reish Lakish that you're putter. In fact, it doesn't even make sense that Reish Lakish ever would have said you're putter. You should be chayiv in that case. So that can't be the case. Ella Kiyasa Ravin, the story went a little differently. Ravin told the story a little bit differently. Rav Dimi was the one that told the story first, but Kiyasa Ravin Amar, when Ravin came, he told the story as follows, that a motzi tevin kemlopi para legamal. Someone takes out tevin, which is cow food, and he takes out enough to feed a gamal, which was our case, de kuliam lo pligi de chayiv. In that case, everyone would say you're chayiv. You took out cow food and it was enough to feed a cow. We don't care why you took it out. If it was cow food enough to feed a cow, of course you're chayiv. Ki pligi, the whole machlokas is, bimotzi eitza, kimlopi para, lepara. What if you took out eitza, which is camel food, and normally you're only chayiv if you take out the amount that you need to feed a camel, which is a larger quantity, but you took out a smaller amount. You took out the amount of camel food necessary to feed a cow, so you'd say, of course you're going to be pater. Well, no, because you plan on using it to feed a cow. So you're going to take camel food to feed the cow, and you're taking enough to feed a cow. So is the fact that you can use it to feed a cow and that it's enough to feed a cow, is that enough to make you chayiv? V'ipcha itmar, and the shitos were actually reversed. The Rabbi Yochanan amar pater, Reish Lakish amar chayiv. The Rabbi Yochanan says pater, Reish Lakish says yichayiv. Rabbi Yochanan amar pater, because alchila al yedei adchak lo shma achila. Why is this camel food? Why isn't it cow food? Because cows don't typically eat this. It's something that's only in alchila al yedei adchak for cows. Cows wouldn't generally be happy with this kind of food. So Rabbi Yochanan says you're pater because it's not really cow food. It's achila al yedei adchak. That's not called achila. That's not considered to be eating. It's not considered to be food. Reish Lakish amar chayiv, achila al yedei adchak, shma achila. Reish Lakish says you're chayiv because achila al yedei adchak is called achila, and therefore you took out cow food for cows, and it was enough cow food for the cow, so then you're going to be chayiv. Tosfos points out that in Maseches Bava Kamma we said achila al yedei adchak is shma achila. So over here it's machlokas, and Rabbi Yochanan says lo shma achila. So what is why in Bava Kamma is it just understood that for sure achila al yedei adchak shma achila? So he says you have to look at context. Achila al yedei adchak, we're talking over there in regards to what's normal, what's included in the malacha, in the avos hanizikin of shein. Shein is something that a person, that an animal eats. Derechana also, right? So what if an animal eats something that's a little bit of an achila al yedei adchak? What if a cow were to eat camel feed? Would that be the av of hezek of shein? Would that be so the Gemara says, yeah, that's called in the Gabi Nezikin, al achila al yedei adchak is called achila. But over here by Shabbos, it has to be more of for the definition of malacha, we don't consider something that's unusual to be a malacha. Anything that's even off a little bit may not fit the category of a malacha on Shabbos. There is a girsa issue in the Gemara that all the achronim in the back say that this whole machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, in the Hagos Mahariv, in the back of the Gemara, quotes from the Kesef Mishnah, that the girsa should not be that it's machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, it should really be Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Oshia. The Rabbi Oshia is the one that says Chayiv, and he says, the reason why you have to say that is because the Rambam Paskins Chayiv. And generally the rule is Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan. So the Rambam should have paskin pater if he followed the rules that when it's Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. But when it's Rabbi Oshia on Rabbi Yochanan, that the rule is that the halacha is like Rabbi Oshia. So it makes sense that the Rambam is going to paskin chayiv if he assumes like Rabbi Oshia, if he assumes that the real author of the real bar plukta of Rabbi Yochanan is Rabbi Oshia, because then you'd paskin like Rabbi Oshia. So the one who says chayiv is Rabbi Oshia. So the Maritz Chayis in the back points out that maybe you don't have to change the girsa. He writes, "V'ulam shamati b'shem hagona chassid maharami Vilna." He said, "I heard from the chassid mi Vilna." He calls him both titles. In the Vilna Gaon's lifetime, he was called, ironically, the Chassid mi Vilna. It's only we who call him the Gaon mi Vilna, probably because historically we think he probably wouldn't have been wanted to know, be known as the Chassid mi Vilna. He was far from a Chassid, from what our definition of a Chassid. Colloquially, what we would call a chassid. So he says, but I heard from the Gona Chassid Mivilna, Inyan Amiti Lahatstik Psako Shal Rambam, a very true pshat to be matstik the Rambam's psak over here. Afim Garsinu Kan Reish Lakish, even if we keep the gears of Reish Lakish Kamoshu Lefanenu, how can we be matstik the Rambam? Dine Bediver Rav Dimi Niskar Amotzi Tevin Pipar Legamal Rabbi Yochanan Mar Chayiv. In the first version of the story, we had not only that the machlokas was about taking out cow feed in the amount that would normally be kosher to enough to feed a cow, and you decide instead to feed it to a camel, but we discussed the idea that Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind the next morning. Then when Ravin came, he changed the story a little bit, and he said, no, we're not talking about where you take out cow feed in the quantity that's enough to feed a cow when you decide to feed a camel. We're talking about where you take out camel feed that's enough to feed a cow when you decide to feed a cow. What about the fact that Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind? Did he change that part of the story also? So the Gemara doesn't tell us if he changed that part of the story, if Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind. So says the Vilna Gaon, probably that part of the story he kept. Whatever part of the story he changed, he told us about. So the rest of the story he probably kept, which means that Rabbi Yochanan the next morning was chozer to the shita of Reish Lakish. So why do you pass like Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan? Because Rabbi Yochanan passed like Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan over here. In the end of the story, Rabbi Yochanan passed that way. And that's how to be matzik the shita of the Rambam. That's how the Maritz Chayis suggests in the name of the Vilna Gaon. The Tosfos over here points out that if you hold that like Rabbi Yochanan, that Achila Deichak Lo Shma Achila, like we said, Tosfos points out that it's not a kasha from Baba Kama. The Mashmos from Rashi and Tosfos Rav Sugya, a little bit, it sounds like that they hold like Rabbi Yochanan against the Rambam. The Rambam again paskins like Reish Lakish, but it sounds a little bit from Rashi and Tosfos that we're assuming that the halacha should be like Rabbi Yochanan, and that's why we're asking from the Gemara and Baba Kama how could the Gemara and Baba Kama say otherwise, if we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. So they're arguing about achilah de chak shma achilah or not. Good. So we're at the two dots. Amir kamelo pi tle. If you take out amir, that's the amount that you would need to feed a tle. That you would need to feed a lamb. That's the shear that you'd be chayiv for carrying. Vatanya ki grogris. But don't we have a brisa that says that the shear is a grogris? Idividi chat shiurahu. Yeah, we do have a brisa that says that. It means the same thing. How much can a tle fit in its mouth? A grogris. So it's exactly the same shear. Grogris is a much more common shear. That's something that we're much more used to. Why would the Mishnah Dafka say Kimlo Pitla? So Tosfos points out, Vada Nakr Masnis and Kimlo Pitla, Velo Nakr Grogris, Lashmi'in, and the Mishum Achilas Tla, Nasun Bo Chacham Shear Ze. Meaning the Mishnah is not only telling us what the shear is, it's telling us why the shear is what it is, why it's a Grogris. Because it's the amount that you would normally use to feed a Tla. That's why the Chum gave that shear, meaning that's what makes it chashuv, because now you can use that to feed a tle. Dina kikrogros lavi adina lama nasru bo chacham shir zeh. Had it told me kikrogros, I would have known what the shear is, but I would not have known why that's the shear. So it's important to say it so we can know why that was chosen to be the shear. Ali shum vali b'tzalim. So the Mishnah went on to say that the leaves of shum and b'tzalim lachim kegrogros, if they're moist and therefore they're edible for human beings, the shear is a grogros v'yaveshim, and if they're dry, kimlopi agedi, then it's the amount that could fill the mouth of a gedi. Ve'ein mitstarf mzeh mzeh mimnei shlo shavu b'shiurein. They're not mitstarif with each other because they don't have the same shear. So they're not mitstarif together with each other. Tulsa points out, Neshla Shav Bushurain, Avalosum Shashavuk, Gonomir Valisham, Valisham Lachim, Mitzarfin. But things that are Shav Bushurayim, like the Amir and Ali Shum and Ali B'Tselem Lachim, Ali Shum and Ali B'Tselem Lachim, we said the Shir is a Grogris, right? Because it's Machal Adam. And we said Amir is also a Grogris, because that's what Mlopi Tla is. So those things can be Mitzarif with each other. V'chein Chomer Lakal, and Tulsa's Machadish also, that which is more Chomer could be Mitzarif together with that which is more Kal. Kigon Tevin La'etza L'Mlopi Gamal. That let's say you have almost enough Eitza from Mlopi Gamal, you could be mashlim that shear with Tevin. V'afil lo ye Tevin roi l'gamal, and even though Tevin itself, a gamal won't eat, so you would think, how could they be mitzari if it's not actually chashav, the gamal's not going to eat Tevin? He says, Shema agav Eitza hu ra'ui. Maybe it will eat it when it's mixed together with enough normal camel feed. So you can go in that direction. From chamur l'kal, you just can't go in the direction of kal to chamur, that which has a shear that's a larger shear to be mitzari for something that has a smaller shear. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Aim it start from the chamer shaben, I'm start from the kal shaben, right? That's what the Gemara says. You can't be mitzayif to the more chamer, but you can be mitzayif to the more kal. The Kaldala, right, and Tulsa just dealt with that issue, but how can you be mitzayif for the more kal? It's not something that animal would eat. Tulsa says, yeah, when it's mixed together, betarovas, the animal would eat it. The Kaldala, shavu b'shirayu mimit starfin, ask the Gemara, wait a second. Is there, when two things have a different shear, why do I care if chamer, kal, chamer? Can you ever be mitzari of two different things that have different shiurim? It's two qualitatively different things. Vatanan, we have a Mishnah. Habeged gimel al gimel, vasak dalet al dalet, va'or hey al hey. When we go through, the Mishnah goes through the shear necessary in order for different things to be mekabel tuma. So we go through different types of materials. So the Mishnah in Kelim talks about when two things combine for the more lenient shear, and the Mishnah says, so if it's beged, it's gimel al gimel, sak is dalet al dalet, or is hey al hey, mapatz vav al vav. V'tani Allah, ha-beged v'asak, asak v'or, or v'amapetz, mitzarfim zeh mzeh. They are mitzarif with each other, even though they have different shiurim for Tumas Medris. V'am Reb Shim matam, m'nei shiru'uyin litami moshav. Why are they able to be mitzarif? Because they're all ra'uy to be mitzarif for Tumas Moshav. The Tumah contracted when a nida zav, zav yaleda, sits on something, they're often used together to make a Moshav. So that's why they can be mitzarif with each other, because they're often used together with each other to make a Moshav, to make a place where someone could sit. But if they're not often used together and they don't join together to make a moshav, sounds like because they have different shiurim, they would not be mitzarif at all. Bein mechamer lekal, bein mekal lechamer. Regardless of which direction you're going in, whether you're using something more chamer to be mashlim a kal shir or something more kal to be mashlim a chamer shir, you can't be mitzarif two things that have different sizes. Samarava hachinami chazal dugma. So Rava says, who says that these things are never used together with each other? The Rav explains, the animal feed also is sometimes used together with different types of animal feed. When a person who sells animal food puts them all together, a sample packet of different feeds for marketing purposes. So he takes a tiny bit of this and a tiny bit of that. Now he needs to keep them all together because it's such tiny quantities that if he doesn't keep them all together, he's going to lose them. So he wants to dafka keep them all together, but he still has very tiny quantities of each type of animal feed. So they are mitzarif with each other because of that. They're mitzarif with each other because they are sometimes kept together. Okay, last mission in the parak. Hamotzi ochlim kegrogros chayiv umitzarfim zeh mzeh. A person takes human food that people can eat. So the shear is always a grogros, and it's mitzarif zeh mzeh. Different types of food are mitzarif with each other. Memnesha, shavu b'shiurayan, because they have the same shear. And again, the rule is, anything that has the same shear is mitzarif with each other. So that's why you're going to be chayiv. Chutz miklipasan, v'garineyan, v'uktzeyan, v'suban u'morsanan. The only things that don't get cheshbined in to the shear of the food is the shells of the food, the seeds of the food, the stems of the food, the suban and the morsan, the different types of bran of the food. Rabbi Yehuda amar chutz miklipi adashim shem espashlizman. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, when we say, there's an exception to the exception. We said that what doesn't get included? The shells. Well, there's one type of shell that does get included, shells of adashim, of lentils, do get included in the size of the food, because it gets cooked together with the food, gets eaten together with the food, so the shell is an edible shell. So anything that has an edible shell does get included to the shear of the food, but something that does not have an edible shell would not get included into the size, into the shear of the food. Minchas chinuch, in mitzvah tezvav, raises the following issue. There is a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Pei. Let's start with this. There is a mitzvah in the Torah. There's an Isser Daraisa in the Torah that if a person has a Korban Pesach, he's not allowed to be motzi mechabura lechabura. You're not allowed to take the meat out of the place where you're eating Korban Pesach and bring it to where another chabura is eating their Korban Pesach. You have to stay with your chabura. And the Gemara there in Daf Pei Hei, Mesachas Pesachim, has an interesting comment. The Gemara says, since the lashon used is hotza'a, and hotza is a magic word in Shabbos, so it follows a lot of the same rules as Hotzah for Hilcha Shabbos. And therefore, you're only chayiv if you do an Akira and a Hanacha, right? It goes through all the rules of Hotzah. So Minchas Chinuch raises various sfeikos. Minchas Chinuch raises sfeik. What about a Toldah of Hotzah? Would you be chayiv if you Zorek or Moshit instead of being Motzi in the normal way? Okay, well, that's an interesting issue in its own right. But Minchas Chinuch says, what about the Shear? What's the Shear of Hotzah of Korban Pesach? Would we say, well, it's a grogress, because that's the shear of Hotzah for all food items. So Minchas Chinuch says, no, even though by Shabbos the shear of Hotzah is always a grogress, when it comes to Hotzah's Basar Pesach, the shear is a kezayis. That's what the Rambam paskens in Hilchos Korban Pesach per Tes Halacha Aleph, and you don't compare it to the Isra of Hotzah on Shabbos. We compare it Legabi Akira and Anacha, so he says, so Luchor, we should have compared it for the shear as well. So he says, no, Korban Pesach is learned from the Lashon of Hotzah, but the Shiurim are not from the Pasuk. Meaning the Lashon of Hotzah, the Shiurim are Alach L'Moshe Misinai. And specifically the Gabe Shabbos, where there are lots of different Shiurim, it's all Alach L'Moshe Misinai, and only for foodstuffs we say is Kegrogris. So we're not going to learn all Shiurei Torah, we're not going to use that, a special Alach L'Moshe Misinai, Dafka by Shabbos, by Hotzah of Shabbos, to change the shear of an Isser of food, which is always Bekazayas. The shear of food in Kol HaTorah Kula is always Bekazayas, so we wouldn't say differently in that case of Korban Pesach, just because by Shabbos is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that food that's edible for humans has a shear of grogros. We're not going to make the comparison, we're not going to take the comparison that far. There's also an interesting comment of the Shalos Tshuvos Halachos Ketanos of Zilberstein quotes over here in Chelek Pei Simen Mem Gimel. The Shalos Tshuvos Halachos Ketanos says he has a riddle. He says, "Ketzer al yedei she'elas chacham yipater mimalkus umimisa." How could a person do a she'elas chacham and become pater from a malkus that he was chayiv or a misa that he was chayiv? So he says, okay, Malkus is easy. A person takes a neder, and he's shoal on his neder. So he would have been chayiv in Malkus, but now he's shoal on his neder. He undoes the neder l'mafreya. Or he says, ha'ochel pigul. Person eats pigul. And v'yehu lilkos, v'nishal bala karbon alav, nishal chulin ba'azara. So then he was the owner of the carbon was shoal on the carbon and being makdish the carbon in the first place. So then it becomes chulin azara, and if you hold chulin azara is only drabban, you're not going to get malchus on it. So that's how you get out of the malchus. What about misa? So he says amarti bimei charfi. He says I said when I was younger, maybe like this. Person carries out on Shabbos a kezayis of truma. Kezayis of truma is roi for a kohen. Is chayiv skila for carrying it on Shabbos because he took out a chashuv amount of food. And then he's shoel on his designation of that food as truma. So if he undoes his designation of that food as truma, what does it become? It becomes tevel. It doesn't become chulin, it becomes tevel, because now truma wasn't taken from it. Tevel, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufnun Dalar and Beis, is going to say, L'may Chazi, it's not roi for anything. So he now carried out something that's not roi for anything. At the time that he carried it out, he thought it was truma, so he thought he's going to be chayiv misa, because he did otzah, he carried out something that's actually worth something. But now he turned it into tevel, so now it's not worth anything. That's what the Halachas Ketana says. So Zilberstein just points out, very difficult comment on a number of levels. First of all, the fact that he says, kezayis of truma, you take out kezayis of truma, chayiv misa, kezayis? kegrogris, all ochlin, that's our Mishnah, all ochlin, shir kegrogris, and even that which he says tevel is not roi for anything, is that true? You're not chayiv for carrying tevel outside on Shabbos. Tevel's not right for anything, that's why it's muktza, maybe. Meaning, when we say it's not right for anything, that's the context the Gemara is going to talk about, whether it's muktza. But the isra of carrying has to do with whether this is a chashuv amount of food. It doesn't matter what the halachic status of this food is, it's a chashuv amount of food, physically, quantitatively, it's a good enough amount of food. So that's a difficult comment of the halachos katanos. Another issue that he raises over here is that, again, the Mishnah says that if you take up a food, kegrogros chayiv, and it's mitzar from zemzeh, because they're shavu b'shiurein. What if you take out two different types of food that ruin each other? That when you put them together, meaning presumably the reason they're mitzar with each other, shavu b'shiurein, is because you could put them together and make the full shear. What if these two types of food somehow counteract each other in a bad way? So he gives the example, dvash im chatzi grogros dag maluach. If you have a grogros shel dvash, together with a chatzi grogros dag maluach. So the Gemara in Yuma, in Ayin Gimel and Beis, says Kol ha'ochlin mitzarfim l'koseves, that all different types of food are mitzarif to the shear of a koseves for achila on Yom Kippur. So the Tos Yom HaKippurim over there says, of course it is. Why would you think it's not mitzarif? So says Sfas Emes, even if one of the foods is mekalkel the other one, and it's not derech achila, you're still going to be chayiv, because by Yom Kippur, it never uses a lashon achila. The Torah has a lashon of inoy, never a lashon of achila. And therefore, you're going to be chayiv, let's say, for eating kilea kerem, which is shlo kederech, because it never says lashon of achila. So he says, hu adin over here, you're chayiv even if you take two chati shears of dvash and dag maluach, because mitzar from kol ochle adam ze im ze, that maybe that's what Rashi says, kol ochle adam, all human foods. Maybe what Rashi means when he says kol is to even include things that are contradict each other, that don't fit together with each other. And it's a kal v'chomer by Yom Kippur, where when you eat them together at the same time, you're going to be chayiv. Kol shkein over here, where we're not even talking about eating it, we're talking about carrying it out. You take out, you're carrying it together. So that's not a steer. You might be carrying it out because you want to eat half of it now and half of it later. So that's certainly l'chora. One should be chayiv. Okay, says the Gemara, the suban umrasav umrasavan lo mitstarfin. Do you mean to tell me that the suban and the morsan is not mitstarif? That's the different types of bran that comes from the grain. So that doesn't count as part of the food. Va'tanan chameshus ram kemach va'od chayav mechala heim the suban umrasan, and the shear of chala is chameshus revaim of va'od of kemach. And how do we count how much flour is in that shear? You count the flour, including the suban umrsanan, including the bad stuff, including the bran that gets put together with it. Amar Abaye sheken ani ochel pito bi'isa belusa. Now that's in terms of the shear of challah, because when it comes to the shear of challah, a poor person might eat it that way, might eat it with the bran still in it. That's why it's still mitzarif to the shear of challah. But we're talking about shearim of Shabbos, and for shearim of Shabbos, it doesn't matter that a poor person would eat it. Like we pointed out, the Mishnah Maseches Challah says even if it's primarily used for animal food, if the shepherd might eat it once in a while, so that's enough to be mechayivit in challah. So therefore, we look at what even a poor person would eat when determining challah. Now, what about nowadays? Bizman hazeh, these things are kept in, you know, it's considered very healthy and good for a person. Whole wheat, right? You have to keep the bran in the flour. So does that change? Is it now mitzarif to the shear once the attitudes of people change? So Rav Zilberstein says, Biyameinu shechach mei ateva omrim shasubin v'amorsin bria ma'od. Umochrim pasam u'urav bo subin b'mamon rav. Costs more than regular white bread. So he says, Yitachin sheit starfu a subin v'amorsin l'inyin shirotza. Maybe it is mitzarif nowadays. D'yeshus chashiv because man is man. You have to look at it based on when you live, that each generation has to figure it out for themselves what is considered something that's chashiv for themselves and what's not. So this is one of those unique areas of halacha where it may change over the course of time. very, very rare you have such areas of halacha that it's going to change over the course of time. So okay, Rabbi Yehuda merchutz miklipei adashim mispashal siman. Rabbi Yehuda says we don't count we do count the shells of lentils because they get cooked together with them. So adashim in pulun lo, only the shells of lentils, not the shells of other beans. V'atani Rabbi Yehuda merchutz miklipei pulun v'adashim. According to the brisa, Rabbi Yehuda didn't only say adashim; he said pulun also, that their shells are going to be counted toward the shear. The stira about pulin could be answered that one is talking, when we talk about new pulin, then their klipa is mitztarif. We talk about old ones, they're not mitztarif. Atiki my time alo. Why are the old ones, are the shells not mitztarif? Because they turn all black and they look like a bunch of bugs on the plate. So that's something that people, you know, it's not so appetizing. People don't like to eat that, and therefore it's not going to be mitzarif. But if it's new and it doesn't look like a bunch of bugs on the plate, then people would be interested in eating it. We now begin the 8th parak of Masechta Shabbos, but again, just a continuation of the same theme. Up until the last the three Mishnayos we learned so far today, one Mishnah told us the rules of shear of Hotzah and Shabbos, what you would be Matzniya. Then the next Mishnah told us how much animal food, the next Mishnah told us how much people food, and now we're going to talk about how much drinks you're going to be Chayiv for carrying out in Shabbos. So it fits right along the theme of all the Mishnayos that we've been learning. Hamotzi Yayin Kedei Mezigas HaKos. If a person takes out enough wine to be Mozeg HaKos, typically they would drink wine by diluting it first with it's actually machlokas throughout Shas, but let's what we assume over here is 1/4 wine, 3/4 water. So you don't have to take out the water. If you take enough wine to make a kos of wine out of it by adding water to it, that shear of wine would be enough. Now, a kos, cups come in all sorts of different sizes. In New York City, a little less than it used to be, but they still come in all different sizes. So how do we determine what's called a kos? So Rashi says the Gemara Mefarish Beis a kos Mesharo. The Gemara will explain that we're going to what kos. The Gemara is going to say a kos shel bracha, that whatever the shear is for a kos shel bracha, so that size of a kos is what you would need to be able to make out of the wine. Now maybe that's why some of the Achronim suggest that's why it says kedei mezigas not kos, because they mezigas hakos, the hey hayidia, meaning the kos. When do that's what the Kol HaRamaz and the Chidushim HaRambanit, they say the dafka hakos, because it's trying to hint to what the Gemara is going to tell us, that it's about a kos shel bracha, the chash of a kos. Chalav kedei gemiya, chalav, how much milk do you, would you be chayiv for being motzi, the amount that a person would gulp at one shot. There is a discussion whether that's less than a grogris, more than a grogris. The Ramban, the Ritva, and the Ran all prove from Yuma, from the Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei, that it's less than a grogris, and that it's even less than a revius. So Tosus raises the question that over here the chalav is bashir gemiya, and in Matznia we're going to have a brisa later on that if you're cholev, then the shear is grogris. That if you milk a cow, the shear of milking is a grogris. So which is the chashav amount of milk? So Tosfos Mitzaris, it depends what Tosfos is Mitarit, that it depends what you want to use the milk for. Over there, we're talking about where you cholev a cow, what you would stam normally be cholev a cow for, which is to make cheese. Apparently, that was more common than to milk a cow for milk. Over here, we're talking about where you're drinking milk. So the shear of milk as a drink is going to be a different shear than the shear of milk that you would take out for cheese making purposes. So by chalav again, it's kedei gemiya, it's one gulpful. Dvash kedei litain alakasis. When it comes to honey, so the shear of honey is the amount that you would use to treat some sort of sore. Rashi says either the sore of an animal who has a sore from the saddle, or maybe it's talking about a sore on a person's hand or on a person's foot, they would rub honey on it. And this also, if it's no longer used as a therapy, so maybe that again, like Rav Zilberstein pointed out before, the shear would change based on the generation. Shemen kedei lasu chever katan, the amount of oil that you would use to anoint a small limb of your body. Mayim kedei lasu pehem es hakilar, the amount of water that you would use to mix with kilar to make a certain eye ointment, some sort of medication for the eye. Vishar kala mashkin b'revius, but every other drink, the shear is always going to be a revius. Vikala shovkin b'revius, even drinks that aren't drinkable, water that's spoiled water, that's not good, the dirty water that you would need to spill out, the shear is a revius. The Gemara will explain what you would use it for, why we need to say shear b'revius. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kulan Berevius, that Velo Nemru Kol Shir Nalal Matzni Ehen. Rabbi Shimon says the shir of all of these things, of every drink, is a Revius really for normal people. All these other shirim are just for people who put away this, who put away smaller quantities of these items. So even if you put away very tiny quantities of milk, let's say, smaller than a Revius of milk, if it's still less than the amount you would have in a gulp, you wouldn't be chayv for that. Meaning even for the Matzni Ehen, if it's less than that shear, then they would not be chayv. It's interesting, the Tor in Simon Shin Aleph writes that in Basi Lichtov Kol Hilchos Shabbos Tirba Alai HaMalacha. He says, you know, it's so overwhelming to try to write down all of Hilchos Shabbos, even though I'm writing a halacha book. He says, Ki Hilchos Rabasi L'Shabbata, there are so many halachas of Shabbos, so he says, I got to cut some corners. So he says, Eini Tzarech La'arech Ben V'lo B'Shiurein. So one thing I'm cutting out is I'm not writing the shiurim of anything. We're cutting out all shiurim from the Tor, because these shiurim are only L'chiyuv Avli Surah Iko B'Kolshu. Shiurim don't really matter to us anyway nowadays. Shiur, the only difference that a shiur makes L'Gabi Hilchos Shabbos is to know whether you're chayv to bring a korban. But even a chatzi shiur is also min Torah, so it makes no nafkamina whether there's a shiur or there's no shiur, so I'm not going to write it at all. So the Achronim are bothered. There's really no nafkamina what the shiur is for different items. Let's say, maybe don't you need to know the shiur for machil adam akala kal tchila? Let's say you have a pikuach nefesh situation. Someone is dangerously ill. So what do? You save their life, right? But what if you could save their life by giving them a lesser iser instead of a more severe iser? So you give them the lesser iser. So let's say they could have pachos mikshir of one thing or yoser mikshir of something else. You need to carry something through Rosh Hashanah to bring to the chola. So you need to know the shir so you can know akala kal tchila. Isn't that a nafkamina? Another nafkamina, the Marsham writes in Das Torah and Simon Shinta Zayin that according to the Prima Gadim, that leka shvus bi isra say, so it could be that chatzi shir, also there would be no shvus on the chatzi shir. So it would be less than, because a chatzi shir is even less than an assay. So there are lots of reasons that there may be nafkaminas. The third nafkamina, Chaschinuch says, what if you have someone who's Safek Yisrael, Safek Goy? What do you do about Shabbos? Min Chaschinuch says, he can't keep Shabbos, he can't break Shabbos, he's a Safek. So Min Chaschinuch suggests what he should do is have Pachos Mikashir, which may be only Midrabanan for a Jew, and is considered a Malacha for a Goy. So that's another nafkamina. So all these kashas on the Torah. Okay, we'll pick up from the Gemara tomorrow.